Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the topic of immigration with Karina Black, the executive director of the Northern Nevada International Center. For the whole show, on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail, we help it grow, and we mean business.
RANNV.org.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Nevada Newsmakers Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always delighted to welcome back to the program Karina Black. She is the executive director of the Northern Nevada International Center. Would you just briefly explain what the center is all about?
Sure, and thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure.
So we are a nonprofit affiliated with the University of Nevada. We have three major programs. One is exchanges. So we host international visitors through the U.S. Department of State, whether that's high school students or Supreme Court judges or environmentalists. We host about 500 folks a year on that program. And we have a language bank. We provide interpretation and translation in about 200 languages to local courts, schools, private businesses. And then the third is refugee resettlement. So we resettle refugees, asylees, victims of trafficking, and Central American minors.
Okay, well, let's start with the most obvious one, which is we're heading into a lame duck session of the Congress. Any hope for anything happening with immigration in the lame duck?
Well, we haven't passed.
I wish you weren't laughing. I love you to death, but I wish you weren't laughing.
We haven't passed any significant immigration bills. And even when we had both houses and when we had, some really strong support, for some reason, I don't think we can do it, and definitely not in the lame duck session.
Well, you know, the thing that's kind of interesting to me is how the debate over immigration has changed in the last 40 years. Because really, if you go back to the Reagan administration, when the last time we passed truly significant immigration reform, you really had two camps. You had labor on one side, and you had business on the other side. Mm-hmm. And it took leadership in Congress on both sides and in both houses to really push it through. There were lower level people working on it for several years. In fact, started in 1977 under Jimmy Carter, and yet wasn't passed until 86. But it wasn't until the last year where it was really significant leadership in the Congress got this done. What do you think are the biggest differentiators now between the two, if there's two sides or more sides, of why we can't come to any kind of agreement?
I think every administration has to make key decisions on how they want to manage, especially the crisis on the border, and that has caused such a split between the two sides that I think coming together, back together, is now becoming almost impossible. The major discussion now under the Biden administration is that the administration made a conscious choice to focus on that segment of the 11 million undocumented folks who may pose a threat to our country. And that is a very tiny amount of folks, because if you look at the upward mobility of immigrants, which is not a topic that is generally discussed, you know, it's when you have an undocumented person that commits a crime, that becomes a huge topic. But a majority of undocumented people, actually, data from Nevada and most other states show that foreign-born, even undocumented immigrants create more businesses than U.S.-born folks. So there is this kind of non-discussion about how much we need labor in the United States and how the U.S. is decreasing its actual numbers. And I just think we are not talking about the real issues most of the time.
Well, because they're not sexy. Yeah. It's a lot more interesting for news media to cover panic at the border and allow politicians in those border states to be able to get headlines, mm-hmm. Where real stories are not actually told. But here's a question for you, which is, in the past, ports of entry, legal ports of entry, were far greater avenues for people to come and outstay their visas, mm-hmm. than it was crossing the border. Has that now flipped? Has now the southern border become the major importer of people into this country?
I'm not 100% sure on the data on that, but with the removal of Section 42, which was Trump's attempt to kind of use the pandemic to say, you can't come, we're going to cause another COVID catastrophe. With the removal of that, I think the opening of those traditional border crossings is definitely going to be back on the radar again. How that's going to pan out and what a next administration is going to do is totally up in the air.
And the reality is that there hasn't been a whole lot of change in the immigration world from the last administration to this administration.
Not at all. It was actually under the President Obama that more immigrants were expelled from the United States. Of course, the pandemic had something to do with that, but there's not a huge, there's some reduction of expulsions, but not as significant as one might think.
The phrase that's most commonly used, and you and I have talked about this over the years, is comprehensive immigration reform. And my thought is that because of what you've talked about here already, that there is no common ground for comprehensive immigration reform. Cannot we take apart the pieces that make sense? For example, here in Nevada, we need workers. The other side of my business, apart from running this show, is an advertising agency. I have more clients asking for employees than anything else. They've got all the business they can handle, and they could do a lot more if they had employees. And yet, we don't do anything about all these people that are coming in. And I want to talk more to you about this in a moment. But are there areas where there's common ground between Republicans and Democrats to at least try to fix some of the immigration situation, or is there just no hope at this point?
And you would think that for DACA recipients, who are young people who have come here when they were young and they had no choice whether they could come or not.
Because they were too young, parents brought them over.
I think the fact that DACA has not been able to be made into a law, into permanent law, is pretty unbelievable, because I believe there is bipartisan support, broad bipartisan support for it. And it just shows that piecemeal part, even that is so blown out in the news media that they can't, the right can't even get to agree to it. But generally, there is broad support for DACA. And for labor, I would say that as an immigration organization, I receive calls on a weekly basis from local businesses who are asking for refugees to work in their companies, and because there is such a huge labor shortage. So I think you're absolutely right. Why we can't get to a point of agreement on such an important issue eludes me.
Well, and it's been this way, you know, for decades. I mean, the only shortcut to getting a green card, which puts you on the path to you know, potentially citizenship, is if you have $1 million and you hire 10 Americans to work in your company, and do that over a certain period of time, then you're in good shape, unless, of course, the company goes bankrupt, as so many have done, and those people who invested the $1 million lose their money and still don't get citizenship.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense for a country that claims to be a country of immigrants.
Well, we not only do we claim we are a country of immigrants, and I think that that goes back to your earlier point, you know, which is that, you know, a lot of times people who are second, third, multiple generations of living in the United States take what we have for granted, whereas immigrants who struggle to make a dollar a day come here and find out they can make $8, $10, $15 an hour, you know, this is their nirvana. And so that's why people are coming. It's not because we're a terror. You know, when people knock the United States and say, you know, we're going downhill. No. People from all over the world would rather be here than somewhere else. Yeah. Is that the same in your estimation?
Absolutely. I've been struck by the refugees that we have resettled. We're about 6 years old, which means folks that came about 5 or 6 years ago are now able to become naturalized citizens. And I've been just amazed by the pictures I'm getting from families that are going to USCIS and are getting their naturalization certificates. And they are eager on the day that they are able to be eligible for naturalization. They are at USCIS, and they're the proudest Americans I have ever met.
When I became a citizen, because for those that don't know, I was born and raised in London, England. When I became a citizen, the first thing I did was sign up to vote. And you don't think it's going to be an emotional experience, but I would challenge anybody to go to any of the citizenship ceremonies that they have and see the emotion in those rooms, and you will never forget it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about more specific things that you guys are doing when we come back.
All right.
Ring in the holidays with $350,000 Big Holiday Extravaganza at Carson Valley Inn. Over 1,000 winners. Weekly cash, free play, and up to $10,000 in cash every Saturday. And two grand prize drawings. Win up to $20,000 in cash. 'Tis the season for winning big at the Carson Valley Inn.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
With Nevada's only transplant center and verified burn center, the science is here. With award-winning cardiologist and the state's only dedicated heart failure clinic, the talent is here. With Nevada's most advanced robotic surgery, the technology is here. And with the Silver State's only designated pediatric trauma center, hope is here. All because we are here. UMC.
save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Karina Black. She is Executive Director of the Northern Nevada International Center, affiliated with UNR. Do you have a sister organization in Las Vegas?
We are part of a national association that hosts international visitors, and the sister organization is the World Affairs Council of Las Vegas.
Okay, all right. So let's talk about who's here in Northern Nevada. We have any kind of significant Afghan population?
Yep, we resettled about 150 Afghans just from the evacuation of last August. So between August and March, we resettled about 40 families.
What did they say to you about the evacuation?
They're traumatized. Many have PTSD. All of those evacuees were initially brought onto U.S. bases, either in Qatar, in Germany, and many in the United States, where U.S. bases were opened for Afghans. There were about 110,000 Afghans that were evacuated. The evacuation was chaotic, horribly planned. We have 12 single men who simply went to the airport to see whether it was possible to leave Afghanistan, and they were pushed and shoved onto airplanes, and their families are still back in Afghanistan, and we've been really struggling to get them to be reunited again. They had a difficult time in the camps, the military camps and bases that were set up, but ultimately they're happy to be safe and in a space where they can work and recreate their lives. Many of them are hugely concerned over their families at home. And so I think we're going to be managing this situation for years to come.
Oh, yeah, to say the least. And, you know, one of the things that occurs to me, and I understand that people would like everything to be clean, neat, and tidy, but war is not. And, you know, when you have a situation of where you're going to leave, you can't make an announcement 2 or 3 years in advance to say, hey, we're leaving, because that opens up all kinds of problems. And I can't imagine any situation where things would be smooth in a circumstance like that. And I know there's going to be a lot of people that disagree and say, oh yeah, well, you know, let's blame this administration or that administration or whomever. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is that the previous administration was going to get out of Afghanistan, and it wouldn't have been any cleaner if they had done it. It's just an impossible situation, but that's part of war. I think the thing that was more, you know, frustrating for me was that we were being told that we had, you know, a few thousand people of the military in Afghanistan, and then when it came to the evacuation, suddenly it was 150,000 that needed to be evacuated, and you're just going, wow, okay.
It was a massive undertaking, and I don't think they estimated how big it would be.
Well, I personally think that the Pentagon knew exactly how many people it would be, but, you know, they don't talk about contractors. They don't talk about the people that work at the embassy. Mm-hmm. They talk about specific soldiers, because that number was more palatable. I mean, if you look at the situation in Ukraine, we're not actively military involved in terms of soldiers, mm-hmm. but the amount of weaponry we're sending, and who knows how many contractors are involved. So
we were so vested in the country because we had been there for 20 years, and as I talk to our clients, so many are, you know, they have, most of them speak English. Most of them worked with as contractors with Americans. Many of them were interpreters. We have fighter pilots, and they were directly involved with the U.S. military machine for 20 years. So they really... they're in danger at this point. So, but there's so many more still that are part of that group. And I think what we're hearing from the administration is that they're going to bring over folks that were in that particular situation over the next few years. And I hope that's true.
I hope it's true too, but we shall see. Let's take another break. We'll be back more with Karina Black after this timeout.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to RTCWashoe.com.
Ring in the holidays with $350,000 Big Holiday Extravaganza at Carson Valley Inn. Over 1,000 winners. Weekly cash, free play, and up to $10,000 in cash every Saturday. And 2 grand prize drawings. Win up to $20,000 in cash. 'Tis the season for winning big at the Carson Valley Inn.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Karina Black. She is the executive director of the Northern Nevada International Center. Are you dealing with Ukrainians at this point?
Yes, we are. So Ukrainians are under a different type of system than Afghans or regular refugees. They're under a Department of Homeland Security program called United for Ukraine. And they come with, they have to come with a financial sponsorship of somebody in the United States. So they're humanitarian parolees, just like Afghans were. So they have no real immigration path. They have to come here and then seek asylum. But the more, the more easy thing for us as a resettlement agency is that because they have that financial sponsorship, they have family members here in the United States and more specifically in Reno, and they live with them. So we basically provide just Social Security, English, Medicaid, whatever services that they need. And most of them are women and children, grandparents, because most men are staying back in Ukraine.
What do they tell you?
Most tell us that they want to go back as soon as possible. They're, you know, unlike perhaps refugees from the Congo or from Syria, where there has been an almost complete collapse, I think, with Ukraine, there's still this hope that as Ukrainians are faring better than anybody had assumed, that they could go back to a rebuilt Ukraine, and so that they might only stay for a year or two with family members.
That really is a remarkable part of this story, is the resilience of these people. I mean, who would have thought, you know? And it makes me wonder, you know, did our military know how weak the Russian military was prior to this? And is that the reason why we're sending so many resources to Ukraine along with our NATO allies?
I think we've had that impression of Russia's decline for many years now. And I think that this administration has actually done a really good job in providing significant support. I know Zelensky would like it to be more, But I've been very impressed with how the international community has come together, Europeans and Americans, to really put the Ukrainians in charge of their destiny, and to see them be so resilient and so strong has been really nice.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the desire to go back, not just to leave and be done, and the level of protest has been incredible to watch.
Yeah.
Are you optimistic for the upcoming next session of Congress?
I'm certainly happy that our senator was able to prevail, and she has been a good friend of resettlement and immigrants in general. I guess I'm always optimistic that something positive can happen. We're not quite there yet on how it's going to pan out, but I think we can hopefully accomplish. Perhaps even immigration, DACA would be nice. I'm pretty hopeful.
Always a good thing to hear. Thank you so much. Have a great holiday season, and we look forward to having you back next year.
Thank you.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
I'm here at the Carson Valley Inn in Mendham with Joey Whitaker. One of the things I love about the Carson Valley Inn here in beautiful downtown Mendham is CB Steak. I have eaten here so many times. Tell folks what they can expect when they come here to eat.
It's a beautiful room, great service. We have certified Angus beef, seafood, lamb, a great range of appetizers, and wonderful desserts. Jean-Michel's done a great job of selecting some beautiful wines for us. The customers love it, and we've got a great selection of cocktails as well. It's not a long way to get away to the Carson Valley Inn.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. We'll see you on the next show.